Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on, get your bounce on, get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it, you gotta get, come on. Fifth one, fourth one. Come on, sing it. wait. They gon' wanna hit the horns.
Good morning. It's the fifth day of June 2022, and welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A this morning. Boy, we got a doozy this morning, so I need you to buckle up, and let's go for this ride. As always, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have My Eye Messenger, which is an online publication. We have the Garland Journal, as well as the Texas Metro News. no excuse for the news. That's what we like to say around here. And then we have other podcasts that are going on as well. We'll mention them as we go along. But some of the things I want you to think about, and welcome to Black Music Month. If you didn't know, Jimmy Carter started that several years ago. And then President Biden just reassured that we will have our Black History, Black Music History Month. So just got to make sure we get Black History Month in June through our music. But, of course, you know, February is it, and I live Black History every month, every day, every second. So keep that in mind. But so much to do, so much to talk about, so little time to do it in. Juneteenth is coming up. We'll talk about that. Get Harold's perspective on Juneteenth, get ready a little bit, and we're going to give you little tidbits throughout the programming. But as I mentioned, that Black Music Month was designated in 1979 by President Jimmy Carter, and it celebrated the decrees with the White House concert. They had Chuck Berry in there, and, you know, they got things started. Now we celebrate it every year in June. So thank you, Jimmy Carter, for that, getting us started, recognizing the music, because, you know, when you go to a lot of events where there are big crowds, there's always some Motown music, and I think they enjoy it. Other folks enjoy it more than maybe I do. I love Motown, but they love it even more. So, again, we will go in and out through the Black Music Appreciation Month, maybe mentioning some artists or doing some of their music a little bit. But I'm excited about today. It is, again, the 5th of June. And we're going to be doing some rocking and some socking. Give you some things to think about. Gas prices on the climb. What's going on in Ukraine? We'll talk about that. Baby formula. Is it back? I know it's under lock and key in a lot of stores. Is there a cloud over America? More shootings since Uvalde. Since Parkland. Columbine, we'll get to that very shortly. Emails. What is going on with emails, hacking, and all of that? I know Harold's a guru on emails. We'll get with that. Uvalde still having funerals. Sad, sad moment. Just when you think you're getting over Uvalde, something happens in Philadelphia. We'll talk about that. When is it going to stop? Tulsa, Buffalo, Philly. Gun violence. Congress, we need to hold our Congress personnel to a higher standard when it comes to this gun violence. We know that the NRA is paying them lots of money to keep the guns on the streets, unfortunately. Now the spin is mental illness. Okay. The young man in Uvalde didn't have any mental illness. He snapped. Obviously he snapped. But they tried to change the narrative. Not the fact that you're 18 getting a gun. That you're maybe have some mental issues. But an AR 15, as I've mentioned in previous shows, is not a gun you want to take hunting. You just don't want to do it. But we'll talk about it, and I have my neighborhood service gentleman with me. We got a lot to talk about. A lot. And we're going to bring in Harold right quick. Good morning. Harold Horatio Hubbard Jr. What's going on, my brother?
Good morning, Mr. Andrew. Just hanging in here on this Sunday morning. Glad to be among the land of the living. Make our contribution to society. and keep it rocking and socking, Soul Andrew.
I hear you. Well, I was in a production meeting on yesterday. So you have to be ready. We can take this thing and put it on camera.
You think y'all won't see me right now?
Look, we'll wake up. Wake up. We'll work on that. We're going to see how it goes. We're trying to make that transition. Because we got big plans, Harold. We're going to take it to the square and look in your house.
That's all right.
So, our show got us progressing in a different direction. And, you know, we just want to be a part of it, at least in the infancy stage of it. But Black Music Month, Harold, just right off the top, some of your favorite performers, old, new.
The old would have to be Prince or Michael Jackson, man.
All right. Well, just beat it. Beat it.
Mm-hmm.
Who else you got?
I don't know if I could choose a new one, man. I'm not really a concert kind of guy.
And, you know, we used to be the fence down trying to go to concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you go through Deep Ellum and you go to all these little places, and everybody that's attending these concerts, not about always attending and being safe. So that's another narrative that we have to look at.
Right.
It's just unbelievable.
You just want to get the DVD or download the music.
And now you said you can download so much music with little to no charge. I did say little to no. Now it's costing you. The people understand. That's how they're buying. What happened to Sound Warehouse? Remember them days?
Oh, yeah.
You used to go and get your LP. Some of these kids don't even know what LP is unless their parents have it at the house.
Right.
Cassette. I'm gonna let you. I'm taking you down the road. What's the next one after cassettes?
CDs.
Let's go back the other direction.
Oh, 8-track.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
8 of them, buddy.
And then I'm gonna let you. You'll get me on this one. We say I want. We can record on.
Real
put
to real.
Your music on. Yeah, real to real. You couldn't take that in your car now. I know somebody tried. But with that 8-track, you record half of your song on the click, changing channel.
Yeah.
We've come a long way. Long way. All right, Harold. We got a lot on the table this morning. We're going to talk about this baby formula a little bit, give you an idea of where we're going. The shelves, you know, I walk through Walmart quite a bit, try to get a pulse on that a little bit. It's under lock and key. And it's been under lock and key for a while, some of the baby formula. Formulas. And now word out of Michigan that one of the Abbott plants is running again. They had some cleaning issues in that particular plant. I'll put it like that. So supposedly it's straightened out, and we'll see. Now, I have a question. As a gentleman, try to be an outstanding gentleman, and wish we had some ladies on the line a little bit to talk about it. Were there any, and people are very funny about things, were there any the moms that breastfed their kids? Were there any stations set up for moms to bring breast milk? Or I know it's a thing that people will want to know where it's coming from. Might have been community things where you may know the donors of the breast milk. But I didn't hear anything about it, Harold, as a whole of of these in the shortest time.
I didn't hear nothing about no donations.
And I like to say this because before we had Infamil, what we had, pet milk, Carnation, evaporated milk, we need some moms our age or even further back. We're going to put a star by that. I want to know how we made it without Infamil. Similac. And before you had all the specialties, pretty much mama providing the nourishment.
Yeah, we sure made it.
And I know moms are very busy today. The federal government put in for a lot of companies throughout the country is to have a nursing room for the moms to pump. So, which is good, very considerate. Yeah, very considerate that the mom's able to be able to pump and take milk home or store the milk in the freezer, you know, for their baby. But this thing is getting out of control. I tell you, there's a lot going on in President Biden's watch. And we can always say when you're in the hot seat, they're going to put a lot of blame on you. That goes with the territory. It just goes with it. Then you have that.
Yeah, it does.
Then you gas prices, Harold, almost $9 a gallon in some places throughout this country. $10. If it's $10, right now it's about $4.60 in Dallas for the bottom pump, what I call regular. Do you think there's a way we can fix this?
If I knew it, I'd be doing it.
Well, they've been talking about releasing barrels, and I think we have. I think the Ukrainian-Russian war is affecting that. But it's a shame with that being a contributing factor. A lot of the gas companies here in America are making great profits. Great profit.
I have a for you, Andrew.
Yes, sir.
How can you invade a country and then won't start making fights for the rules for the fight? They are mad because the America has given Ukraine some missiles that can reach into their territory. Thing is, take the fight to you. Might make you back up off of us. So how you gonna try to get mad and try to make rules for an invasion, basically? That's my question I'd like some help on, because I was so confused when I heard that, and I was even further confused when America tried to say that they were reassured that they wouldn't do it. Okay, so now you're telling me you're removing the threat.
Right.
That's crazy.
That might be global warfare we might be using. Ukraine need help. A lot of the countries surrounding Ukraine now have joined NATO. Probably strengthen them a little bit. But that threat, they know with America giving missiles and everything, it's going to enhance Ukraine's stance in this particular predicament. So he's afraid of that. The textile. I'm just afraid, Harold, if it continues to go, what role would North Korea play? What role would China play? Now, mind you, it's no secret. Our installations of South Korea is closely watching that, and Canada. I mean, not Canada, watching China and North Korea over there, our military installations. I know we have some Navy ships not far off the coast ready for action. It's a systemic reaction to what's going on in Ukraine. They've brought people from Ukraine and put them in Russia in poor areas, the people they've been able to capture. Are the resources that strong? Are resources in Ukraine? It's such a necessity that we don't even know about it. It's why they're trying to take it over.
So they are rich with resources. I know that. I don't know to the extent.
But there's a reason. There's a reason why they want them. You know, and what hurts me more than anything is the killing of the kids. I guess when you set a missile off, you don't know, you have an idea who it may affect. But you just hate when you see children, you know, remnants of children out there dying because of political wars. So basically what you're doing, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize they're trying to minimize the future.
Mm-hmm.
By eliminating adults and kids, just citizens. Somewhere you would hope in their heart that they would protect and not hurt the children. But we know it's not possible. Because at that point, then the adults keep the kids around them. And that's understandable to protect your kids. But these airstrikes on hospitals, people have nowhere to get care. That might be a military strategy. I don't know. Is that something that you all focused on, Harold, as a military, to try to cut some of the veins off of these vessels for helping people?
Nah, man, that's against the Geneva Convention.
Okay.
So
and we might need
saying,
to let people know about the Geneva, if you're able to pull it up.
They're doing some things that so far against it is what kills me, that now they want to try to make some rules when in the end they just really trying to level the field up. You know, so how you going to try to make some rules when you started out the thing breaking the rules?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, it's just weird to me.
It sounds like desperate needs. They're in desperate straits now, trying to reclaim,
right,
the bill. They've lost a little luster over there.
Right.
And then I'm still wondering Brittany Griner's role in this. Is she held hostage now to get the attention of the American people?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the young man that was able to leave, why couldn't we have gone for a package deal?
Mm-hmm.
Brittany's wife asked that the president go get her.
Was that a fraudulent flip?
No, accidental. Where we know we can't send our president over there. What they thinking? Honestly?
Hey.
You never put the president in harm's way. I tell you, it's a lot going on, Harold. And when we look at the Geneva Convention and the protocols, it's a body of public international law, also known as humanitarian law of armed conflicts, whose purpose is to provide minimum protections, standards of human treatment, and fundamental was the respect for individuals who become victims of armed conflicts. Standards of humane treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, it's right there, but who's following it?
Nobody.
Russia. It didn't get there at all. Mm-hmm. So many lives have been lost. And you have one general or whoever was over there, the army over there, he quit. They have another gentleman running it. And though it's been continuous, however, it's been kind of quiet. You know, we don't get the care or the coverage like we have. It's still there. But when it first started, I mean, every newscast opened up with a little bit of it. So that remains to be seen.
You know,
but I'm like you.
We got more world tragedies now, you know, so it's done slid
right
to the back burner.
The paradigm shift has occurred. And
mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, there's a cloud over America right now. A cloud. And it's not the tropical storm that went through Florida. It's not, as Greg Fields would say, precipitation. There's a slight chance of rain and snow or whatever the case may be. The cloud of America is, what are we going to do about these guns? We know the impact of the NRA with our congressmen. Now they want to say everybody has mental illness. Let's stop the mental illness. But not one time have they mentioned to go up to 21. You can put it on your cigarette. You can put it on your liquor. But you can't put it on your gun. 18-year-old killing people in Texas. There's shootings that we don't know could be going on with kids younger than 18. Or how they getting guns in the street. Harold, I was taught way back by my grandfather, and my dad echoed it too. We don't control any commerce coming in this country, major commerce. That being said, we have no airplanes, no trains, or anything that can bring foreign substances over to this country. We get it in this country and we redistribute it in our neighborhoods. Because South Dallas, when you lived in South Dallas, and people are still very proud to live over there, but at one time it was a show piece. A trophy piece, didn't have that much crime. And now the crime is different. I'm just calling it like I see it. We don't see it in Highland Park. They got a different kind of crime going on over there.
Mm. They even changed the color of the collar.
Very well put. And now that we're moving over there, they can't quite keep us from over there. There's some parents making some good money. They still don't want them. They don't own at all. But do we address them? It is just not in Highland Park. It can be in Hyde Park, Chicago.
Mm.
It can be in Pennsylvania. In Tampa. It could be in Coral Gables down in Miami. I don't know a ritzy neighborhood. Maybe the Woodlands down in Houston. Who knows?
Yeah, they pretty fancy.
But the paradigm has shifted. When Robert Jr. and Stephen met, the parents didn't want them to talk. Worried about the cultural change that Robert Jr. can give Stephen. But on our side of the track, Harold, we think of what can Stephen, how Stephen may change Robert Jr. See, they think it's the bad coming their way, but the bad could be coming from their direction. You know, we all been in this country for years, and the fight that we continuously have with one another is only softening our presence on that world map. We can't get along here. How do you expect? I wasn't in the military. I'm sure, Harold, you may have encountered some gentlemen thought they were McCarthy or George Washington. Trying to run the military from their side of the ledger.
Right.
But last I look, and I've seen it through my professional career, blood is red.
It sure is.
And you can't tell me if you walk and see blood on the pavement if it was a white person or a black person.
Mm-hmm.
If you can see it from the pavement, I got $1 million I will give you in Monopoly money. I will give it to you. Because I sure don't have it. But again, we're at such odds in this country. Other countries are seeing that we are having these race issues. Segregation still. Critical race theory. Don't want to talk about it. And now, who's on the bandwagon, Harold? Parents that are younger than you and I. It's not the grandparents. Some of these young parents, 30, maybe up to 40, that are pushing for this agenda. And Steve,
well, that's what it's
going to
take.
Repeat that, I'm sorry.
That's what it's going to take.
You know, we go
the
abroad.
The newer generation getting in on it.
We fight hand to hand when we go abroad. I'm like Ali. You asking me to kill somebody I don't know. Somebody that's never given me any trouble. When we go over, we fight, we kill, we return. Not knowing the after effects of mental capacities after killing somebody. Of fighting, as I talk with a lot of gentlemen from the Vietnam era. You asking me to kill somebody that didn't do anything to me, personally. We defend our country because we're here and we love our country. There's so many things we can think of. Soldier story. How they put the black regime out there before anybody else came through. There's another movie, Matthew Broderick and Morgan Freeman and Denzel. I can't think of this. Soldier story might be. I'm not quite sure. I apologize if that's not. Where they were proud, and they put them on the front line to soften the blow. Well, we've been doing that for years for America. America, what can you do for us? Let's start in the Congress. What can you do to reduce gun violence? what can you do to stop trying to jerry-rig the elections? Can't stand in line. Can't, well, you're in line, can't go out and use the restroom. Nobody can bring you food. Come on, y'all. Is it 2022? Or did we go back to 1922? Fighting for our own honor in a country that we call home. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. It's about 40 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I am live in Studio A this morning. And if you're interested in making some comments, we've gone through quite a bit this morning. Just press 1. We'll get you on. I'll see your hand raised. Again, it's Black History, Black Music Month, excuse me. All of June, we've talked about the raising prices of gas, inflation, the war. We talked about Putin trying to make some changes because of the Americans providing long-range missiles. We found out about the Geneva War, Geneva Conventions, talking about just giving some rules as far as warfare. So a lot is going on in this world, a lot. And, folks, we need to be right on top of it, and that's why we hear every Sunday morning talking about it. We're going to step this thing up. Cheryl is getting us, Harold, as I told you, we're going to take it to a new level. So be ready. We've got to be camera ready here very shortly. So we're trying to work out formats and everything, so which is good. Now, we talk about the gun control. Let me give us some more history about what's been going on. We all know about Uvalde, and we're going to give you a little history about that. And I'm trying to locate exactly when this occurred. I tell you, Philly has Uvalde, May 24th. May 24th, teachers, students of Robb Elementary, 18-year-old first shot his grandmother at their home before driving to Robb Elementary School, entered the school, no obstruction. He just went right on in, barricaded himself, found out, Harold, that the chief of police or handling that particular school didn't have his radio on. Were they able to communicate via cell phone? I have not heard that yet, but they tried to throw it in. Seemed like they're backpedaling.
Mm.
Were they down at the diner having a cup of coffee?
Man.
Were they at the donut shop?
Most likely.
Who knows? But innocent kids have lost their lives. There was a 10-year-old played dead and notified the officials that kids should be commended, given the highest ranking prize that the president can give a civilian, notifying others. Can you imagine? Well, I don't even want to imagine as an adult being in a situation like that. No. But a 10-year-old trying to help, playing dead, Harold, not to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
What type of scar is that leaving on that child? Seeing your teacher, your classmates getting shot. I'm sure the gunman didn't think about that. Not at all. But since the 24th, and we'll go over it a little bit later too, at Robb Elementary, on the 25th, just the day after, people shot in Philadelphia. Anniston, Alabama. Austin Township in Michigan. Colorado Springs. Chattanooga, Tennessee. Fresno, California. Malabar, Florida. Memphis, Tennessee. Chicago, Illinois. Fergus, California. Phoenix, Arizona. Henderson, Nevada. Taft, Oklahoma. Chicago, Illinois. Houston, Texas. Benton Harbor, Michigan. Philly again. Charleston, South Carolina. Wyoming, Michigan. Waco, Texas. And now, that was all from the 24th to the end of the month. All that I called, that was the 31st. The last call of Waco, Texas. The last shooting. Then you get into June, that's only 5 days old. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Centerville, Texas. Mm. Birch River, West Virginia. Chester, Virginia. Omaha, Nebraska. Phoenix, Arizona. Socorro, Texas. And this was, let me read this. This is so sad. Five teenagers were wounded in a targeted shooting at an early morning graduation house party. After two groups at the party began to fight. That's the fourth day in the month. Then back to Philly. And then already, today is June 5th. A shooting in Grand Rapids, Michigan. One dead, three injured. One person was killed and three were injured in a late shooting in the arts at an arts festival. And you talk about mental health. Yes, that could be a contributing factor. But not only mental health, where's the gun control? When you have measures in place, it has been known to reduce the amount of shootings. And we're not following the plan. NRA, good morning. I understand your purpose. Does someone have a heart to reduce the amount of guns?
Is there a heart in the house tonight?
Reduce the amount of guns that are on the street. Pushing to 21. You can't buy that liquor. But I'm sure they get it from home.
That's where they don't get the gun.
Yeah. Can't buy cigarettes unless you're 21. Why don't we push it to 21 and do an analysis to make sure that they're not having any mental issues? It could be a very easy fix if that's what they want to do. But these companies understand the bulk of their sales are for those individuals that are younger than 21. Crazy world we live in. Crazy. I was reading all that. Still, we have some callers on here. Feel free. Always an open format. Juneteenth is coming up, Harold. We're gonna talk about that in the second half. I found out some interesting things. Every year I've been on this earth in Texas, finding out some things. I want to get back to the NRA. Had a big convention in Houston. went on with the show, gun violence, and you talking about gun sales. To me, that's like going to a party with a gasoline outfit on and the party's a fire. And my mind had to clean that up because usually I say something else with gasoline. But you're going with a gasoline outfit on to a fire. Not a great combination. Not a great combination. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking at. At 18, it's not a good combination. AR, AK, AQ, whatever you want to call them, but AR-15. You know, they always talk here. If you go hunting with that, you might not bring home much. You may not have much at all.
Yeah, you ain't trying to bring nothing home.
They have hollow points, everything, whatever you wanted to get it. But you can't get it. And we don't understand. We know what I understand. And when we looked at the amendments of the Constitution, they were talking about muskets. Congressman, when are we going to change the Constitution? You're not going to change it. How about when we amend it? You amend everything else. Why we can't talk about the guns? Why we can't bring it up to speed for 2022? Oh, no, we ain't going to touch that. But you dance around it when you want to. Very disappointed. The amount of lives that have been lost. And that's on both sides, with the shooters and the victims. If you didn't have it in their hands, they wouldn't shoot people. And those 10-year-olds will be able to enjoy ending school, getting ready for the fifth grade. That's the narrative. I'm always talking about when you shoot and kill somebody, that has the same impact as a period in a sentence. It's over. Not a comma. A comma, conjunction, help you put something else along with it. But when you reach that period, in this case, death, that's the end of sentence. Nothing else can be said. You can recap, but it's over. And to be 10, with a very promising future, it makes me appreciate the age that I am now, because we could have easily not been here. But it's like, by the grace of God, we made it, and it hurts like the dickens when you get kids in the predicament that they are in now. What a wonderful, awful, how can you even put those in a feeling? How can you put them in the same sentence? And that's how I made that point of people getting money and creating awful situations. You smiling, but families are crying. What is it going to take to fix this? This administration and legislative administration is turning back the hands of time. They're constantly turning it back. Folks, we got to do something about it. Georgia, you got a governor's race. Georgia, you got a Senate's race. Texas. You got some House of Representatives changing seats, retiring, things of that nature. Also trying to jerry-rig seats, eliminating some, and then putting them with contestants that are very strong in that region. I tell you, it's a very ugly situation. So ugly, I think of our hair, what my grandmother said, God don't like ugly. It ain't too crazy about pretty. Never thought that would be so pronounced when it was said. Didn't understand it. I understand it now. America, get it together. Because when it comes for us defending our soil, it's going to be tough. We've been very fortunate, with the exception of 9/11, that any war we've ever fought has been on another continent. Very fortunate. Very unfortunate. It's about 57 minutes after the hour. Welcome to World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum live. Studio A, Harold Hubbard out in Dallas on the street trying to find the news you can use. Harold, just this week alone, I look at the shootings. I want to move forward, but I'm just hurting of things that are going on. I was down in Deep Ellum last night. Well, early evening, just going through, and as the crowd got thicker, I figured it was time for my exit. They wanted me down there, so there were some things going on, of course. And got out of there. There are more police that are out there, a little bit more presence on their part. But crowd control is what they're going to have to do in that area. Mm-hmm. You said one light, it changed two or three times before you even get across the light. That's how bad it was last night. But what do we do? How do we... You know, we've been younger, I'll put it like that, and we hung out too. But what do we tell our kids, our neighbors' kids, people at church? What do we tell them now? What should be something that...
Leave their guns at home.
And the sad part, if they have guns, have they gone to the firing range to try to be able to shoot better? I don't know. I paused there, waiting on a response. It's just crazy. I'll get back to that. But again, the shootings from Uvalde all the way up to today, shooting. Cruz, Cornyn, McConnell, Scott, we need help. This country needs help. We need to get off our own political soapbox and make it happen. Make it happen. Harold, at the top of the hour, we're going to look at, are there any things? We'll look at mental illness. And in the future, I'm going to get someone in, a psychiatrist, someone that can describe this mental illness that they're talking about. You know, we all have our ideas of what it is, and we're pretty much on target, but from a clinician's perspective of this mental illness. Because I know a lot of people play crazy. but there are people who are not playing that are actually representing that group. So we'll keep things going and we'll make it go there. So Harold, what's going on in your world? What you got to bring to the audience this morning? Some observations or something that you noticed this week?
Well, it's definitely May is gone. June is coming in here strong with a lot of water and rain. So make sure you take care of yourself on these streets.
I think everybody's yards are looking good.
Yeah. Better get it up.
Get your yard looking real nice.
Man.
Okay. The Juneteenth coming up.
Watching all these shootings going on. Just trying to stay out their way.
Yeah. Stay home. Because you never know. A bullet don't know nobody.
Mm-hmm.
The way these untrained people are shooting these guns, it'd be very devastating, not to the ones they tried to hit, but the ones that they missed that are getting hit.
Mm.
That's where you got to get in there and do what's right.
Okay.
But on a light note, Harold, Juneteenth is coming up. And I'm still laughing. And I'm laughing because of when I first got here. I left Florida on the 13th. Got here on the 14th. Had conversation with a family from Florida on the 17th or 16th. But when they told me in a few days it was going to be Juneteenth, I looked at my mother and I said, Mama, maybe they don't say 17, 18, 19. I had no clue what Juneteenth meant. But Eric, growing up here in Texas, what did it mean to your family?
Oh, man, it usually meant liberation, a little bit of barbecue and libations. People usually plan their family reunions around it. Freedom, education. Been educating
mm-hmm.
people about it and what's going on in this country.
And a lot of people still don't. I wish we could get Cheryl on for a minute, her perspective, because she's another transplant. And it's just amazing with Juneteenth, that's when the information 1865, excuse me, the information got with that the Texas slaves were free. And we celebrate that. Now, I'm wondering, Harold, if it was such a stance, I always wonder, why did Granger come to Galveston?
He had to go around.
So they wasn't welcome.
Everybody they were sitting in the traditional way was getting killed.
But they came through Galveston, gave the word that they were free. 2 years mm-hmm. after the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, as a kid, I didn't know anything about Juneteenth. Nothing. And I always thought, why would somebody kill a president? Now, mind you, you just learned about the Emancipation Proclamation at that point. But when we discuss and reminisce on the hate that the President of the United States received by freeing the slaves, then it started clearing my pathway up of how I thought and what I thought as it relates to the Emancipation Proclamation. You know, if we didn't hear about it, we wouldn't know about it. Harold from back then. It's been a part of the culture of Texas. Now the world knows. The world has already known that for a while. But now the world has a holiday. The world has a holiday, the country. Now, all people, the only thing I'm not sure of, maybe Cheryl can give us a little clarity, is it going to be a certain Monday, like most federal holidays in June, maybe the first or second Monday in the month of June? Or will it be done on the actual holiday? If you look at your calendar, most governmental holidays, they try to go on that Monday. Okay? And now here's one that we have to kind of scoot around with as well. Want to hear about it. Cheryl, do you have anything for us on that? You've been here. But I tell you, Harold, what I enjoy is the fact that the history, and I wish we teach our kids even more about it. We celebrate. We know there's Emancipation Park in Houston. We know there's one in Mejia in Austin, Texas. There may be some other ones throughout the state. But given the release after 2 years, it's bittersweet. What's bittersweet for those individuals during that era? Something else. Simply something else. Need to continue to push forward. It's nationwide now. Some people may go to work. I tell you, the bank will be closed. That's the U.S. government regulated. It's going to be something. It's going to be something. I tell you, Harold, I just don't know how we're going to make it. How we're going to make it here in these states at the rate we're going. Will our kids be able to be the adults in 20, 30 years? I have no clue. No clue whatsoever. So we need it. We need them to embrace the history and move forward. Teach the next generation of what it's all about. They're changing books, Harold. They don't want us to know. Or want their kids to know the advancement of blacks in this country. They want us all to be able to stay home, find a little spot in the neighborhood where you can walk around. Folks, we can't go backwards. Might as well relax, we unite, and move forward. That's what this country is missing. People uniting. Wow, God bless America. I tell you, Harold, I'm trying to get some other stuff in here. And I know I wanted to get Cheryl on here. I know she's been so busy. So busy to kind of see her take on some of this. We've gone through quite a bit of things this morning. And as always, audience, we want you to pose some questions. We want to keep this format going in this direction. We talked about the funerals. We talked about a little bit of Juneteenth. There's a cloud over America, and the cloud is the gun control. Baby formula, making a push. Gas prices out of the roof. Do we use the reserve, or has the reserve made an impact on the high prices? Almost $5 a gallon in some places. additional shootings around the country. Gun violence going up. What are we going to do? I tell you this. I was waiting on someone to call Harold. We're having a national alumni meeting down in Florida and waiting for them to call as well to get them rolling. You know, I'm going to give you my state of the union, so to speak, with our historically black colleges and universities. I know a lot of our fraternities and sororities are contributing. We're having debate within ourselves. We really want to help all students. But we know some of the PWIs have that great endowment that continues to keep our kids in their school. That I do understand. Certain states, they go by population of the college or university in order to distribute funds. So if you can look at what the state of Texas will provide UT versus what Houston Tillerson may receive. Those are the things. You've been at the table, but being at the table doesn't mean you get your right portion of food. And I looked up here, and good morning, welcome to the world of Drew. What's going on in your world this morning? Ms. Smith.
Yes, sir.
Good, good.
Can you
now,
hear
me? You are a veteran journalist, and I know you've seen it all. You've seen it all. I want to just ask you a few things. So, first of all, before I ask you, is it anything you want our listening audience to know?
It's a beautiful day, regardless of what's going on, especially if you can hear my voice and I can hear yours.
As the old pastor said in Tampa, it's best to be seen and heard and not viewed.
All right. Can you hear me? I can't tell.
Yes, we hear you very well.
Good deal. Well, good morning to you all. I'm glad to hear Harold. I haven't seen him in a while, but glad to know he's amongst us.
Must have lived.
All right. Shade.
I was hoping to hear some exciting things about the new, well, not really new, but better radio station in this market. And we always need modes of communication. You talked about a number of things this morning, and I'll just say for the record that Juneteenth, yes, is a national holiday, and because it actually falls on a Sunday this year, it will be celebrated on another holiday on June 20th. So banks and the government will celebrate or commemorate it on June 20th, that Monday.
Right. So don't go to your bank. Don't look for the mailman.
We're going to send a special shout out to Marva because she thought she could go to the bank on October 12th. And she was going with that. I'm going to the bank. And everyone saying, no, she's not. And it was actually the day, which is now October 12th, was a holiday because it was the birthday. It's the birthday of Dick Gregory, but it was also the day when they said they were commemorating the birthday of commemorating Christopher Columbus, but now we look at it as Indigenous Day or Native American. There are a number of names that they call that day. It's one thing, you know, when we look at our era, we will talk about some of the wrongs that were righted with the getting rid of monuments of the past and commemorations of the past, but we're also going to be remembered for some very stupid acts and some very stupid. There are elected officials that were around with Lincoln and others who were probably dumb as doornails too, but we don't remember their names. Folks are going to remember the names of these idiots that are doing stupid things. And that is for sure. And they're going to remember the more than 10 million who are eligible to vote who are not registered. And they're going to wonder, where were those who were registered and didn't vote either? Because we're still at a 6% level in Dallas County, but you look around the country and you look around and think about when we went to the polls for to elect then Senator Barack Obama, and we just have to go to the polls every time, like it's the last time we're gonna get to go, and also like it is so important because decisions are being made by people who we don't vote for because we didn't vote.
And you said a mouthful there, and we don't realize, oh, my vote doesn't count. Your vote counts.
Well, we have a council member. We have a council member in Duncanville, Texas, who can attest to that and should write a book, write a song, do a dance, because he was elected by one vote to the Duncanville City Council, and he's also in a runoff on Tuesday, I think it's Tuesday, for Duncanville mayor. So we'll see if Duncanville gets out and votes, because it's not a matter of looking and seeing, is my neighbor voting? Are you voting? Are you getting out? Are you passionate about it? And you can't just get out when your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, mom, dad are running. You have to get out every single time, because guess what? If one of your moms, dads, uncles, aunts, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters are running, you're going to want people to get out for them. You can't expect people to do for you what you won't even do for others.
Well taken. So, yeah, we wish the gentleman that's running in Duncanville the very best. And, folks, you know what?
Yes, his name is Mark Cook, and he, Mark, actually, usually in June, which my column is about it this week, about the Don't Believe the Hype Celebrity Bowl-a-thon, because we are not having it the fourth Saturday in June. But we are planning something for the end of this year, and we'll have more information on that. But at the first Don't Believe the Hype Celebrity Bowl-a-thon, the person who's running for mayor of Duncanville, Mark Cooks, who was an executive at Wells Fargo, he bowled on my team.
Oh, okay. He had two for the price of one, I think. Well, we definitely wish him the very best. And hopefully, you know, everything goes as planned. And then when he comes to Bowl-a-thon, I guess he'll join the ranks of some very influential people, not only in the state of, I mean, not only in the city of Dallas, the county of Dallas, state of Texas, and the world. Get some very influential people are there. I tell you,
but
Cheryl.
It takes a vote.
Takes
it
first
takes
vote,
a
right?
Vote. And people are going to sit home. The other day, I was watching Roland Martin Unfiltered, and someone had said something about they needed something to, I guess, to invigorate them, to excite them, to make them get excited about voting. And you know what? You don't wait until something happens to your butt for you to get excited. You got to be excited all the time. Because if you are not excited, some people are going to get into office that are going to make decisions and do things that are not in your best interest, and then you're going to wish you like, where are people? You know, I feel for all the women and men who have lost loved ones, especially to gun violence. But how many times have you sat home and not gotten involved in other stuff because you felt like it didn't affect you? How many times did you go out? I just, you know, and I wouldn't do it because it would be pouring salt in a wound. But how many people who have lost a loved one due to either an act of violence or police brutality or something like that, how many times did those people, any of them, get up and speak out about gun violence or police brutality when it was happening to someone else? You can't wait and holler and say, where are the people, we have to stop this, when you just got on a bandwagon yourself. But there are plenty who will guilt you, and they give these impassioned speeches and everything. You're like, where were you? People have complained about police brutality in Dallas. They've complained about oppressive acts by police officers and everything. But where were they when Commissioner Price and all of them were out protesting at police stations about this very thing? Some of them probably even said the commissioner was crazy. And those people are fools. But imagine if thousands had been out there calling for justice from the police department 25 and 30 years ago, maybe some of what, maybe, just maybe, you don't know because you didn't do it, maybe some of the things that are happening today would not have happened. But don't wait until you need a kidney transplant to talk about the low number of donors of African Americans. Were you on a donor list before you needed one? Or your loved one needed one? It's, you know, Andrew Harold, I went to the Korean community had a town hall meeting after the shootings of the businesses in, they call it Koreatown, up in northern Dallas. And if you close your eyes, you would have thought that they could have been any community in America. They could have been African American, Latino. They could have been LGBTQ, any of the communities in Native American speaking. But what was clear is that everyone doesn't think it's an issue until it hits them. But what if people had come out and spoken out about it when it was across the street, around the corner? Why are we only concerned about the rising cost of school loans and everything when we have children in this? How can you exist on this earth and not at least try to leave it in a better place by addressing some of the many ills that confront us and confront our communities and our people? Is this something to think about? What are you doing for someone other than yourself? Are you getting out and walking yesterday with Kears from the Steve Harvey Show because you are supporting sickle cell? Or do you wait till your child or your grandchild has a child who has it, and then you want to get involved? And then you're looking around and you're upset because people aren't giving like you think they should be, when they are just a mirror image of who you were before you were impacted. It's just something to think about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we've always been reactive. You know, being proactive is going to get a lot of things going. I just think about what's up there at Capitol Hill right now. It seemed like we were just roller skating, or not even even if we, some of us at the age where we used to do a lot of roller skating, they're just rolling. They're not pushing or nothing. They're just seeing how far that one push that they've made, how many times they can get around the rink. Because mm-hmm. other people need their support just to do something. You know, we want to see something done, because the results don't lie when you have these mass shootings. They're the history book. Let's reduce the amount of history that's going in based on gun control. There's going to be a lot of guns that are being sold or will be sold on the market, off market. But we need to reduce that. Give gun education. That's what we need.
Well, that says a whole lot. There's a lot of work that we have to do, a lot more. We have to, instead of saying what are our elected officials doing, what are we doing to help them do their job?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have ever been in a staff meeting and wanted to make a change in some policy or something going on within your job, you got to have some backup, right? You got to have somebody who agrees with you, who is going to support, who is going to back you up, right? It's
correct.
The same thing with elected officials. It's the same thing, and that is why you have people making decisions who are elected officials based on their constituency. A classic example was when there were people who were supporting Hillary Clinton for president, and but their constituency, their base said, no, we're going Barack Obama. So what mm-hmm. did they have to do? They had to vote the will of the people they represent. We have to stop being the silent. We have to stop being silent. We really do. We really have to stop being silent. We have to speak out, speak up, and, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have no options left for us, for our people. We have to do better.
And, Cheryl, I think on top of that, not only doing better, we have to talk with our kids and get them abreast of what's going on. Oh, no, he too young, she too young. No, they're never too young to understand. Because if somebody opened fire or someone drops a bomb on this country, that's reality right there. It's not, well, I wish I could have. Take the opportunity while you have while you have this moment in your space to tell the kids, tell your family members, teenagers. Some of them don't even know if they're going to live tomorrow. That's the predicament some are in. But if we could at least give them some sense of hope that when we can't utter another word and we can't even open our own eyes, is that when they carry the torch, continue what's going on.
Well, we have to do a better job with our children, because I was telling, jokingly saying, I'm trying to speak a new language, and it's called millennial. And it is, you know, we are having comments about what is happening with our children, and they are a mirror of who we are and who we have made them to be, because we have kind of sheltered them. We have, and if they are entitled, it's because we've enabled them. If they think that they're supposed to be getting something a certain way, and they're supposed to be, you know, amazing. I agree that we're all God's children and we should respect, you know, each person and everything. But that does not mean that you get to say and do anything. I do hold people who are my elders in high regard. A lot of young people, you're just not getting it from it today. A young lady, Dr. India, emailed me the other day, and she said, you know, it feels funny calling you Cheryl, because I remember, and she's talking about over 20 years ago when she was running around with another FAMU student, and they just knew Miss Smith, or Aunt Cheryl. And but now we have told people that we have told these young people, you know, they're disrespecting the wrong person. We told them that you're equal, and that's why when you had people want to challenge Maya Angelou, because she tells young girl, you know, I'm not Maya to you. And she shouldn't have had to say that. Steve Harvey has had to tell some young people on Family Feud not to call him Steve. And then their parents stand up there grinning, and I know because some of them are probably embarrassed, and some of them probably went home mad at Steve for doing that. But take your child. Teach them the right way. Teach them the natural order of life so that they won't be criticized so much as they're getting criticized because of lack of work ethic, you know, not knowing. We were telling a person that they were inappropriate in something, and they said, would you have said that if they had been, you know, President Barack Obama? And the child didn't have the sense enough to either say no or even say, I would think about it. When people, she's up. People were telling him that it was inappropriate for him to say to Barack Davis. You know, it was like, you try to talk to him, hey, baby. It's like you try to talk to him and tell them that something is inappropriate, and you say, give it an example, because you're hoping they would say no, they wouldn't say that to the former president of the United States. But hell, these kids will, because of what we have told them about, when we give them, we go into debt giving them, our parents went into debt giving us an education, giving us the things that they thought would further us in life. We go into debt giving our children the things that help them to look good in a society that is self-absorbed with how you look, you know. And I'll give you a classic example, and then I'll be quiet after this. When you look at on social media and you have all these people graduating, go back and look and see how many of it says they graduated and what they graduated with, and they graduated all that. But how many of them say what they're going to do next? How many of them say what their job is? It may say for some if they're going to grad school to pursue a certain degree, but depending on what area that degree is in, folks are even like, you don't need a master's degree to do something in that field. You know, what they doing is they going on to school because they don't have a job or a number of other reasons. If they don't have a job, they aren't prepared, ready to go out and work and live and do a number of things, a number of reasons. But how many say, okay, I got a job and I'm going to work for, I got a degree in mass communications and I'm going to work in the PR department of the American Red Cross, or I'm going to work for WCLS, or I'm going to work for Metro News. How many are saying that? No, it's like graduation is the stop. And then some of them, you know, you ask them, well, I don't have a job yet. And sometimes I want to ask, because if they say, you know, I'm looking for a job or I'm looking for employment, maybe there's somebody out there who can help them. And then even for me, maybe there's someone out there who can offer an opportunity, and maybe we can keep some of them, because amazingly, a lot of people are starting businesses, and a lot of people who are starting businesses unfortunately, guess what? They haven't taken one business course. They just figure, oh, I graduated from law school. I'm going to just open my own law office. I graduated with a degree in public relations. I'm going to start my own firm. And who's my biggest client? Me. Because I'm all over social media, TikTok, and all of this, and I haven't learned it. So I'm sending press releases out to people with names misspelled and information wrong and I'm not following any kind of style and actually hurting clients because guess what? Your clients don't know any better. You know,
correct.
So there's a lot that we could be, a lot we could be doing if we, you know, you have people, the same people who are saying, you know, oh, well, they need loans and they need this and they need to forgive the loans and everything. Some of these same people are making sure that their children can become members of organizations where in that given year they're going to spend $3,000 to $5,000 becoming a member of it. And then when, you know, they have a professional photo shoot for graduation, and they don't even have a next step after. The next step after graduation is maybe they're taking a gap year, or maybe they're chilling for the summer to get their head right. We just did not have that opportunity. And
right.
And I'm not begrudging. I'm not upset at people because they have that opportunity. I'm just saying balance it out with responsibility. Balance it out with the responsibility. We want our children to have better than we had, but we got to expect for them to earn some of it.
Right.
And not just by earning, by getting a good grade, especially, and I'm not saying during these COVID times that there are people who are professors who are not giving the right grade or they're not doing social promotion type things or whatever. But what I am saying is that you got to get up every day and do something with your life and not just expect for it to be given to you. And if the young people are expecting it to be given to them, it's because we have put that in their head. We have made them, we have been the parents who don't check our child when a child, when we introduce our child to an adult and your child half-ass speaks, you know, and it's like, and then you try to explain, oh, you know how these, no, you know how you are, because you should have checked your child right then and said that will never happen again and start taking away some of the things we give them to make their lives easier, to make them more respectful adults and citizens in this world instead of making them think, oh, I'm equal to them. I don't have to speak to them. When it's just common decency, because when you want something, you will go to some of those same people. You know, you got
right.
parents today asking, you got parents today asking people, will you write a letter of recommendation for my child? What happened to your child asking? Your child don't even speak to me. You know, and so we got some work to do, but I'm silent. You asked for it, you got it. It's kind
of
like Toyota.
But, you know, I'm going to piggyback on it. You see that quite a bit. And, you know, we've gone through that as well. And that was some of the things I was asking. You call and get the letter of recommendation. You know, we may set it up for you. At least you call. Don't. And then the people feel happy. Oh, wait, they took the time out. Well, I mean, sometimes you have to make them do things they don't want to do. Because
and then you don't say thank you. You don't say thank you after you get the letter, and you don't say, hey, this is – you don't even send back and say, hey, well, I didn't get it or I got it or I'm, you know, I'm going over or anything, especially if – and, you know, sadly I wrote a letter for someone for their child, and it's been at least 20 years, some people say get over it, and you say get over it, but guess what? 20 years later, the same parent came back to me asking for somebody else, and guess what I said? No. Because that's what, first they should have been made to ask, and then they should have let me know if they made it. If you ask my write a letter for you to get a job, then if you get the job, at least let them know you got the job.
And that's no more than right. It's called following up. And I guess we got it, but we've lost that that connection between what is right or what's proper to what's being done. And some of the parents, they know through their church, through their school. And that's why, Cheryl, I think when our schools were segregated, and I'm going to put it like this, there was a lot more love for my teachers because they followed up. If you didn't do something, they called your house. Is he doing that? All right, because they cared. It was more not just a job for them. It was a career. It was a career for them to make sure that the kids better themselves. And now a teacher wouldn't even care. They see you back there. You could be, oh, yeah, I see him in class. But is he doing something in class? That's what we need. But as parents, you just have to be the bad guy. And I love having that role.
Well, Dr. Napoleon Lewis said, a teacher hasn't taught if the student has not learned. And I'm one of those, even as a college professor, I have had the numbers of, I would have Andrew's mama number, and I will call her in class. Okay, thank you, baby. She wants me to eat. I don't want to eat. You eat.
No, eat.
Okay, eat. Okay, I have to eat and talk, excuse me. But I will call the parent and I'm Professor Cheryl Smith. I have your student. I have Andrew in my class. And I want to see what we can do together to make sure Andrew is not living on you for the rest of his life. And I tell him what was going on. But there are some teachers, but there's such, there's such a difference in the student as well as the teacher. You have a number of teachers who are not going into teaching because it wasn't a lifelong dream of theirs, but they're going into it because of necessity. And then you have students who are not getting any home training, or even those who are getting home training will still do things their parents would be surprised they're doing in the classroom. And if I ever walked into a classroom and saw my child doing something and being disrespectful to a teacher and all of that stuff, the teacher would be wanting me to have pity on you. Because I would get down, they say it's $250 for fighting in school. I said, let me hear about you doing something. I'm coming in there putting $250 down on the principal's desk and whooping your butt. And I didn't say it like that. I said it nicer.
But you know what? I hate to put the business in the street, but I had an elementary day like that where I went in. One of the two, I'm going to let y'all determine which of the two that I had to go, how your mom said, don't have me get off my job to come to straighten you out. So we walked in, I got the information. I asked the teacher to excuse us for about 5 minutes. We walked in the next room. I just had something in my hand. And we had a little conversation. It was a little one-sided because I didn't do a lot of the talking. But this particular child, y'all probably can put your hand on this one, had something to say, something I didn't want to hear. Why are you being disobedient? So I tell you, it was, I wanted to take a pillow back with them to sit back in class. And I dared anybody to come in to ask me what I was doing. Because as a parent, if you don't get it straight now, the law, the world ain't going to get it straight either. And that's what you were talking about, teaching these kids. Call and ask about things, but understand your space, your place in space, I like to say. And we have to get better control. I'm glad the days are over. They ended up turning out to be pretty good, I must
say.
Very
good. Very good.
They,
and it might
they needed that charge early. That charge.
Well, I went to the school. I went to the school, and I'm not going to bust your person, but I went to the school. I said, don't have me come up there. I came up there with the belt, and I asked the teacher, I said, you can handle it or I can handle it. I came up there, and I wrote about it, and I actually won an award for it. And I was, because I said when I was walking down the hall, if you could imagine, I was coming from my dressing room at a boxing match, and the teachers were all lined up against the side of the wall giving me five as I went down to this person's classroom. And I took them in there. And the funny thing about it is, like in eighth grade, and she tried, thank you, she tried to not cry. She was, you know, holding back, and I was whooping that butt, and she would not say anything. So when she got home that day, she said that her classmates were calling me a B. And I said, oh, yeah, I said, and you were leading them, right? But I just told her, I said, and the teacher was like, oh, Miss Smith, I said, nope, I gave you an opportunity to handle it. Because you know, even today, and this is something parents need to hear, is that I was asked to teach a class in one of these suburbs, not in the inner city, in the suburb, because they were having a hard time keeping teachers because of incidents like the student throwing a chair at the sub.
Uh-huh.
You know, and these, you know, parents need to take a walk up there. As loud as you cheer for your child on the field or on the court, you need to cheer for them in the classroom. And if that means going to the classroom and checking their butt out and seeing what they are doing. Because I thought Ayana was real quiet in class until I was waiting for her in the back of the classroom. And she came in and she was like, you know, just talking like you see them girls on TV. Just, I mean, just the life of the class because she saw me. And then she was in seventh grade. And then this little snotty-nosed boy going to come up giving me his hand, introducing himself to me. I should have been a man that day because I would just squeeze his hand, which I did squeeze it like I was a man. You know, but I'm like, who this little boy think he is coming up to me like this? Mm-hmm. But he was respectful and all of that. But it's just, you know how they try to charm you,
right? Right.
And everything, and probably trying to deflect because I was ready. She took a seat down and acted like she had some sense. And I said, if you could do it when I'm here, you could do it when I'm not here, and you better. You know, we have to love on them to a point where we love them into success, not where we love them into entitlement and failure and deviant behavior that's going to get their butt in trouble. In fact, you
right.
and Harold could come and love little Chunky Butt because she is
all over
me right now.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Cheryl, I mean, if we had more parents that would take charge of the situation, and you know your kids better than anybody, and sometimes parents want to defend their children when they know that's their child doing what has been done.
But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. you know, just think about it. And one thing I do remember my mom saying, she said, I will never say what my child won't do because you don't know what they'll do when you're not around.
Well, absolutely.
There are some things.
I'm calling your mama. I'm calling your dad. To see, that was when we had the neighborhood schools. Everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
And the worst person I wanted to hear was going to get me was my great aunt. She didn't hit you. You know, she wouldn't say anything to you. She would shake you. That was the worst thing in the world.
She would do what?
Shake you. You know, and she would shake you, and I could hear my uncle, you don't shake his brains out. Well, maybe because he ain't using the one he has. And if they ever told Aunt Rosa was coming, that was it for me. No, don't call Aunt Rosa. I'll do it. I'll do it. That was my kryptonite. But you know,
all Southern kids should be, I mean, the epitome of everything good, because this one whipping with a switch was all I needed.
Oh, yeah.
That a switch is the most horrible form of punishment for me.
Well, I think I did like Harold. I probably got the smallest switch on the vine or on the tree. I bought a twig bag. I bought it with all the leaves on it. And,
be nice, be nice.
But look, bro, with all the leaves back on it. And then, go get something else. And then, I guess that's how I got my negotiation skills, because I talked my way out a lot of butt whippings. Well, you know, I really wasn't thinking. That was my famous line. I wasn't thinking about what the outcome was going to be. But I will next time if it happened again. And then my grandma, boy, that boy sure could think. Yeah, so I'm one of them kids too. But I knew better not to, you know, not to act up and everything, because they made it obvious to us what the consequences were. And that's what we need in parenting today. Let them know what the consequences are. And then I'm sure you'll get better response, because a lot of them, they might thrive. Well, she going to whip me, but she ain't going to break me down. Or my daddy going to whip me, he ain't going to break me down. I just cry and we keep moving. And we don't need our kids to think like that. Not at all. But we're going to, look, Cheryl, as things get a little better around here, we're going to start asking some child psychiatrists to come in and help us digress a little bit. And I say digress because we have to go backwards to understand where we are now. What happened in that life to make this kid go left or right when they should have gone straight? And sometimes it could be fuel for the parents to understand why this child may be responding that.
Right.
First of all, they get too much. We understand that. They have too much. People can't keep up with their children with phones. How about we didn't have phones and they kept up with us? They knew exactly where, you know, you can say, I'm going by Auntie's house. I'm going by Auntie. As long as you went by Auntie's house, you were good. Didn't say what time or how long it took you to get there, or if you went right off the bat, but you knew your parameters. And if we give parameters, we get better results. I've been known to turn phones off. My phone ain't working. What happened?
Isn't it amazing how they throw that at you? My phone wasn't charged. It's charged for everything else.
Yeah.
So I started using it back on them.
Look, since I can't reach you, your phone wasn't charged, you're not using it either. So when you get that next charge, call me and I'll put it back on, because they ain't doing us no good.
He said, I needed some money. I said, but my phone, I said, darn phone that died, you know, because they try anything, and We supposed to be smarter, and we need to act like it.
Right. And I tell you, parenting is not a very easy task. I think that we want them to be happy, yes, but then we need lessons taught. And then, and I say that because we don't know much about the shooter that was in Uvalde. But love may have made him think otherwise. I don't know what grandmother may have done to get shot in the face or to be shot, period. We don't know. But that's why it's so important to know your kids and give them things to do, keep them on task. You know, I couldn't go, growing up, I couldn't go to the park on Sunday if I didn't cut the yard. Usually it was Saturday morning, but I remember it was some Sundays I was cutting the yard before I went to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Because I 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon where I wanted to be. But I understood what I needed to do in order to get there. And I had a mother, and my dad didn't do it much, mainly my mom. She was, you know those, what we call Miami windows, Cheryl, that crank out from the bottom? She would crank them out.
Right, right, yes.
And start the lawnmower right under my window. So you couldn't say
they
nothing.
They knew how to do it.
Oh, yeah. I would let it run out of gas. We don't have no more gas. Look in the garage. There's a can. But I would cut before I went to Sunday school. Or if I didn't go to Sunday school, I'd cut before I went to morning service. I was going to church. That was a given. That was a given. But I did everything I needed to do in order to get out Sunday afternoon. Because our church, they had evening service, but it wasn't required of us to go to evening service. So, you know, we're going to talk with some people along the way. For those who are listening, welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Williams with Cheryl Smith and Harold Hubbard. You know, just talking about some things that are going on. We went through a lot of things. We expect to have a facelift here shortly.
Yes.
Trying to get some things worked out so that we can get everyone that's on live. We can have your questions go. And we're gonna try to change in this year 2022. By 2023, we're gonna be up and running, kicking flower, and seeing everything that we need to see. But as we bring this to a close, I want to thank Harold, as always, for giving his expertise. That'll cost you $5, Harold. and every Sunday, and for Cheryl for her leadership and her insight, I tell you, it's great growing, you know, along with you and your aspirations as far as becoming a media mogul. And, you know, I am ready to take it to the next step. We're going to take it to the big screen. So I guess you're a little 5x7, and then we'll go up to these 70-inch TVs eventually. So I just thank you so much for the opportunity. I want to say good morning to Florida A&M National Alumni having their meeting down in Tallahassee. We want to hope that everyone gets back safely to their homes. And thank you for what you do. Greg Clark, who's stepping down, you know, only term limit, but he's been on the forefront for a bit. So we thank you so much. As always, read your African-American newspapers. On behalf of Cheryl Smith and the group, I'm out of here and let you know, without prayer, we're not.